All right. When I became a pastor, I looked for as many mentors as I can get my hands on. And one of the people who mentored me was a man named Pastor Scott. And Pastor Scott was great, but he did some interesting things. He was telling me how he would go and actually work for funeral homes and do funerals for people they didn't know, because they didn't have anybody to do the funeral. So he would do that for them. And he was telling me all about it. We were laughing. He says, it's always funny when you have to do a funeral for a real scoundrel. He says, because you have to kind of walk a fine line between, you know, you got to be sympathetic to what's happened, you know, but then you can't fill them with a bunch of lies. You got to tell them the truth. And sometimes the truth can be a little humorous. So I just thought that would be interesting, Pastor Scott. That's great. I'm not going to go work for any funeral homes. I said, and I have yet to do one of those funerals where I have to put a scoundrel, you know, say goodbye to a scoundrel, and you just, you know, understand it could be humorous at times. All right, when I was growing up, we lived in a nice suburb across the street from a nice elementary school. Let's see here. There we go. Back to Drew. Now, Crossmas Elementary School, where we live, we played in the street, and we played right in front of our house, which sounds crazy, but actually, back then, this was quite the norm, to play in the street in front of your house. We played freeze tag, and we played STOP, but we especially played football. My beloved asphalt field was from the white line to the telephone pole, and we played day and night. If we fell down, we got scraped up, no problem. We shook it off, we kept playing. If it rained, we got wet, but we kept on playing. Nothing could stop us, and we feared very little. Now, I say very little because we had one constraint, one inhibitor, and her name was Golden Grass. Golden Grass was the old lady whose front yard was directly in the back of our Exeter Road end zone. She was a mean old thing, and she hated anything or anybody on her perfectly manicured, prized lawn, her Golden Grass. As we inevitably, as we're playing football, our football would wind up on her lawn, and it was always an altercation when one of us got chosen to go retrieve it. So no one in the neighborhood really ever got to know Golden Grass. She was mean till the day she passed away. Her house was then sold to the Dudashes, and we got along just fine with the Dudashes. But I will never forget old Golden Grass, and unfortunately, I have to say, I have met others like her since that time. Old curmudgeons, old grumps who are nasty and difficult to be around. Unhappy killjoys who seem to love being miserable. Downers who talk nothing but negatives and point out all the wrongs that have happened and are about to happen. Now, I mention this because tonight we are going to look at someone who had an opportunity to become an old Golden Grass grouch, but instead, they became the total opposite. We will see that while grouches seek to gain what they want, people who are the antithesis of a grouch move God's heart. So much so that God wants to give to them. God wants to do for them. And God wants to bless them. Okay, let's pick up where Elder Robert left off in 2 Kings chapter 4 at verse 11. And you will recall that there was a woman who you learned about, and she had her husband prepare an upstairs room. Now, the upstairs room, by the way, was always for the guest of honor. And she had her husband prepare that room in their house so that when Elisha, the prophet, was in the area, he would have a nice, familiar place to stay with home-cooked meals and a friendly atmosphere. That's who she was. She's called the Shunammite woman, right? Let's pick it up in verse 11. Well, one day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem, I want to speak to her." But when she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Well, later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" And Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." "Call her back again," Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her, as she stood in the doorway, "Next year, at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried. "Oh, man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. Gang, just when you think this Shunammite woman can't get any better, she gets even better. We know she had a huge heart for helping Elisha, making her house a hotel for him and cooking for him. But now when Elisha wants to do something for her, she shows her unbelievable contentment and her gratitude for what she has been given in this life. I titled this message, "How Not to Be an Old Curmudgeon," because this woman shows us how to be the exact opposite of old golden grass and linden. How does she do it? How does this Shunammite woman get to a place where basically God offers to give the woman anything she wants? How does she get there? Let's see. How Not to Be an Old Curmudgeon, point one. She focused on what she had, not what she didn't have. From a couple different translations, here's her reply. "I live among my own people. I have everything I need here." From the NLT, "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." From the Message, "Nothing. I'm secure and satisfied in my life." And from the King James Version, "I dwell among my own people." Astounding. This woman is content and happy with what God has given her. So much so that when she gets the opportunity to ask for anything, she simply says she needs for nothing. Gang, I tell you, I am humbled by her statement. In fact, I don't believe I could think of a single person who would give the answer she gave, and I don't think I would give the answer quite the way she did either. I mean, how about health? Couldn't she ask God for years of health? She said, basically, "No, I'm good. Whatever God sends me, his strength is sufficient for me." How about the Messiah? Jesus hadn't come yet. Couldn't she have asked to see the Messiah be born? She basically says, "No, that's all in God's hands, whatever he thinks is best." How about power, position, money, or how about this? No more problems or troubles. Basically, she says, "No, I trust God to supply my needs and guide me to where I should be." Now, it sounds so simple, and it sounds so childlike and so void of ambition and drive, but it is what we see, not in a curmudgeon, but in a woman who God longs to give to and to do for. This past week, we received a medical call with my fire engine, engine 3. And in my district, we have 3 high-rise senior citizens complexes, 3 of them. So we have a lot of senior citizens in this apartment complex. And it's not an assisted living complex. It's for older people who can take care of themselves. But what happens in these 3 giant-sized buildings is people get older and they don't want to leave. They don't want to go to assisted living, and I understand that. So they wind up getting to a place debilitated where they can't take care of themselves, and we wind up going for calls. And that's what happened this night. we got a call, and I hadn't been to this room before. And as I got to the room with my two guys, and I have two brand new guys, I have no one with who has much experience on the back. So it was just the three of us go in, and a cop came out of the room, and he was coughing and kind of looking sick, and he says, "It's terrible in there. It's terrible." And well, as he went out, I went in with the guys behind me, and it was bad. It was awful. The place smelled terrible. The poor lady who was there was laying in the bathroom on her stomach, and she was skin and bones. She's very sick. Giant thick glasses, and it was just an awful scene. My two guys backed up, and they didn't really know what to do, so I went and I picked her up. I picked her up like you would pick up a doll. I picked her up, and I put her in her chair, and I started to get information for my report. I asked her for her name. It sounded familiar. I must know someone with that last name. And then I asked her her date of birth, and it was very close to my birthday. I had graduated in 1979, and I said, "What year did you graduate high school?" And she said, 1979. And I put it all together, and I called her by name, and I said, "We graduated together. Do you remember me?" She said, "What's your name?" I told her my name, and she started to cry. And I watched her, and I felt awful because it all came back. I knew who she was. I remember my friend back in 1979 on a trip was dying to get a date with her. And she was pretty. And she went on to say, as she was sobbing, that she is legally blind. She'd been very sick. She did nothing to make this happen. Her kidneys shut down, her liver is about to go, and diabetes has just wrecked her body. So I did everything that we needed to do at that scene and then transferred the command over to medical services and then walked out with my guys, and we went to the elevator. And as we went down the elevator, I couldn't help but think how blessed I am and what God has given to me as my life after seeing that. And you know, maybe this is why when God founded America, he implemented a day that we would celebrate annually to be a time of remembrance, to remember and to be grateful, a day to appreciate what we have, a day of thanksgiving. You know, if there ever was a risk, or if there ever was a danger attached to the American dream, it is the concept of an unquenchable appetite. Because there can always be more that we want. There can always be better than what we have. And the answer, as often is the case, is found in balance. Yes, we should strive to move forward. But the balance is gratefully and joyfully accepting God's response and God's provision, no matter what his response or provision is. And I want to emphasize the gratefully and joyfully accepting God's response. You see, curmudgeons are not joyful and grateful people. They do not cherish and they do not bask in the wonder of what they have. They lack the depth to see the pricelessness in what they have. They look beyond what is around them, and they want what they want when they want it. So I just want to give you a little opportunity here to give yourself a test and see kind of if you have work to do or not in this. So on your outline, you can write this word, relational status. That's two words, relational status, okay? Write that down on your outline. And now you may be single, you may be married, you may be dating, you may be divorced, you may be widowed, it doesn't matter, okay? Are you outwardly showing gratefulness for where God has you today? Are you living joyfully in the status God has you at today. If you are, you can then put down a big S because you are a Shunammite woman. You like the Shunammite woman. You are joyfully living in the status God gives you. If you are not joyfully, gratefully, happy with the status God has put you in, and you are not acting in a joyful, happy, grateful manner, put down a C. You're heading towards curmudgeonness. That's a real word. All right? That's just one test. I'm going to give you one more test. Now I want you to write the word family. Ohana. Do you regularly thank God for your family? Do you thank God for your family? Do you thank Him for the family He has given you? Or do you complain and wish away the family that you were given? If you are regularly thankful for them, an S for Shunammite woman attitude. If you don't, put down the big C. You're on your way to being a curmudgeon. Gang, our hero in the story focused on what she had, not what she didn't have. She focused on what she had. She noticed those things. We need these eye-opening moments in our life, like I had back at Peach Orchard Towers in Linden. Do you have a roof over your head? Be thankful for that. Do you have a family member or a friend or a dog who loves you? Do you have the ability to walk out into a sun-filled day? Do you have eyesight to look at the beauty of the stars at night out here in Warren County? Did you have anything to eat today? Do you know that God loves you? I think you get the drift. Focus on what you have, not what you don't, and we will all be better for it, and we will be one step away from being an old golden grass curmudgeon and more towards what God would have us be. Our hero focused on what she had. Point two, she focused on giving, not receiving. Now, old golden grass was not the least bit concerned about making the world a better place for others. She did nothing to brighten up anyone's day, and she did nothing to help others laugh or enjoy themselves. She simply loved the feeling it gave her to look at her golden grass. Curmudgeons do that. They concern themselves with what they want, with how they feel, with what they want to do. Jesus' words were what? If you want to find yourself, give yourself away. And I believe we can say the opposite is true as well. If you want to lose yourself, keep to yourself. The world we live in is a do for me. What can I get? Looking out for number one world. No wonder we see so much violence, so much road rage, so much anger, so much despair and meanness in this world. Gang, it is not to be this way among God's followers. We are to be people who, like the Shunammite, look at the needs of others and give. And I don't mean money so much. Our job of giving our lives away means that we can be a help to someone. When we are presented with an opportunity to be a part of something that is good, we do it. When we are asked to assist in a situation that gives with no return back to us, we see that as a good thing, not a bad deal for us. This woman made her spare room a comfortable place for this traveling prophet and gave to him to stay when he was ministering to the region. She gave meals to him and enjoyed the meals with him as her husband and her drank in the prophet's stories of God's work. Her spirit of giving allowed the whole town to experience the words and teaching of the great prophet Elisha, all because she gave.
others got to know God better because she gave. When you give your life away for the betterment of God and others, you will find your life. When you give, you get. It's a biblical principle. Now, I have been serving here at Westbridge Community Church for almost 12 years. And one of the most rewarding things that I have experienced is the incredible amount of giving I have seen here. This is a very generous church. And I'm not just talking about money. People giving so others can have an opportunity to find God. That's what I'm talking about. The countless amount of rides given to get someone to church. The free babysitting so couples can enjoy a date night. Young people using their entire savings to buy conference tickets for an unsaved friend. Giving up birthday parties, leaving family functions early on a Saturday because they promised to be here to set up the chairs you're sitting in. Giving up an $80 an hour work opportunity because they committed themselves to being here first on a Saturday night. I could run this list very, very long. I'll stop there. But the truth is, happy, blessed people look to make the world a better place for others. And in our case, we strive to give them the ultimate help, connecting them with a Savior to love them, to lead them, and to enlighten them. Gang, if you have been coming here for more than a year, this is your church home. The next step is to start giving. Once a month, we like to have people serve on a team. Once a month is our goal to get them serving. You only have to work once every 4 weeks. Kids Bridge might be a place where you can give. Setup team might be a place you can give. Hospitality, putting out coffee. Design team, putting up curtains, setting up chairs. Tech team, what Jimmy's doing tonight. Drama team, you see how desperate we need people. They're down to the last one. Worship team, worship band. If you don't think you have an ability, you qualify. You come and see me. I've got a place for you to try. I'm not going to lock you in. We'll give it a flyer. Give it a test flight. If you like it, you fit in. We want you to serve once a month. And you will find when you give yourself away, you will find yourself. You will have relationships with people. You will build friendships. And God has promised to come through on this. You can't outgive God. Westbridge has always been a giving church. We have always been. And God has always blessed us for our generosity. I want to show you a video. I want to show you a church. It's a lot like us. It's a little different than us, but I want to show it to you. And I want to talk through it as we roll this video a little bit. I just want to show you some interesting things that they're doing. All right? Thank you. I showed you that. The church is Grace Church, and we have friends there, and they called us up, and they said that this ministry that they had been doing, it has reached its close, and they have this trailer with all of the equipment. It's a mobile church, as you saw, and they said, we heard about Westbridge, we heard what you're doing down there, and we'd like to give this to you. And we said, yes, thank you. So this has been going on for a couple of months, but if you go down to the upper room, you will see a large trailer parked next to the upper room because this mobile church is now ours. And it is all because Christians at Grace Church had the attitude of giving, not getting. And they have given that to us. You must give yourself for the betterment of others. The Shunammite woman did. Jesus did. The apostles did. And a whole lot of people here have. It's now your opportunity to come and see me. Because in the weeks to come, our setup team, who is very ingenious, will design a new system for Westbridge Community Church. We are going to consolidate and blend our equipment with the new equipment from Grace Church on the Mount and see how we can make Westbridge even better for inviting your friends to. Even better for getting the message of Jesus Christ out. Even better at growing our faith and helping others to find out who God is and who He designed them to be. New opportunities are here. Come and see me, and I will take down your name, and we'll figure out a place for you to try and see if it's a good fit for you. Make sense? That's where we're headed. All right. Now, the third point is on how not to be an old curmudgeon. Stay with me. We've got one more point, and we're going to be done. She was focused on today and what needs to be done now. The Shunammite woman was promised a son, but she would have to have faith, and she would have to wait. There was work to be done every day for the next year, and she would have to tend to that faithfully. It is a fairly good assumption that she was excited about the promise of this son and when it would happen, because God does just that. He gives us promises and then expects us to hopefully and joyfully do what needs to be done till He brings about the promise. I have been very excited watching some of our young people seek God's direction on the college that He wants them to attend. I have watched these young people pray, and I have watched them earnestly seek God's will on, Lord, where do you want me to go to college? And I keep encouraging them, do what God has for you to do today. That's the key. Work hard now at your scholarship requirements. Get good grades on this week's test. Join and lead meaningful and significant clubs. Go to SAT preparation classes. Go to them now, not the week before SATs. And pray. Invite God into your school choosing process. And ask God to lead you to the right school. Sure, you want that promised son to come. Sure, you want that scholarship letter. I get it. But the way to get those scholarship letters is to focus on doing what you need to do today and what you need to do now. Curmudgeons, they just want the baby and they want it now. But Shunammites wait. And they prepare. You want good health in your twilight years? We all know what we have to do, right? We got to make changes. Quit smoking. Eat better. Move more. Exercise. You want a good job? Work hard where you're at now. Expand your education this semester. You want to see your children grow up and be healthy adults? Model godliness and show them how to live for Jesus. Invest your time in them and make God a priority today. We've covered a lot of territory tonight. And in closing, the thing to remember is this. The Shunammite woman acted the way she did when she was childless. She was gracious. And she was generous, and she was kind, and she was giving, and she was hardworking all before she had any promise of God's blessing. You and I are not called to be scoundrels that are difficult to say anything nice about. We are called to be not golden grass, not old curmudgeons, but we are called to be people who live God's word. We are called to focus on what we have, not what we don't have. We are called to focus on giving, not receiving. And we are called to focus on today and what needs need to be done now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I'm going to ask our worship leaders to come back. I'm going to ask them to take us through one more song, one more opportunity to worship God, and have you take the time to say, you know what, Lord, maybe I haven't been as grateful as I should be. Maybe I'm on a path towards that old curmudgeon, and I want to change that path now. I want to be thankful for what I have. I want to be a giver. If you're calling me to have a place, Lord, on the ministry team, then I pray you'd give me the boldness to go and ask. And if you want me, Lord, to take care of something this week that I've been needing to take care of, give me the strength through your Holy Spirit to do just that. Let's stand and sing together. To continue to become who you've called us to be. Help us to be people that when it comes time to sum up our life, there would be a long string of individuals who want to sing our praises because we were so kind, because we were so giving, because we focused on others. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing gift that you've given us. I thank you for Grace Church and their heart, for thinking of us, and for being able to give what certainly could have been sold, but to give to help someone else maybe do the word a little bit better than they're doing it. And I pray, Lord, that you help each of us to focus on what's in front of us, be people who are happy for what we have and are busy doing what you've called us to do. And Lord, that the blessings come as you want to send them, so that at moments in our life, we stop and realize we are blessed because we have a God who just keeps giving. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, knowing it's the best place to be. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.